Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is a beautiful morning today here at the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. You never know what you're going to get on this show. But you will get some outdoor stuff, fishing, hunting, whatever. Also, you can be part of the show if you feel like it with questions, comments, whatever, fishing reports at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can always email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Okay. Hey, Danny.
Hey, what's up, Tom?
Good morning. Hey, over there. Sam. Not Wes.
Good morning.
Sam, I am.
Where Sam gets stuck with this.
Sam, I am. Sam's been on the morning show all
graveyard
week.
Graveyard shift.
Yeah,
he's used to the graveyard.
I've been waking up even earlier than this all week.
Isn't that normally Ryan's?
Yeah. Ryan Horvath. Bronchitis this week.
He had bronchitis.
So I did phone for him.
Yeah, that's what he says.
No, Ryan likes to be here. Ryan does a good job on the morning shows. He's a great contributor.
You know, I was supposed to bring something up a few weeks ago. You guys know the no-name bookie, right? He calls in the show once in a while. Well, a couple weeks ago, the no-name bookie and I had to go and do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what is it.
Got to rough somebody up that didn't pay
him? No, right. Yeah.
Take a little visit.
Yeah. I just want to know, maybe we have some people of Italian descent in our audiences. Why do Italian people got to speak with their hands like crazy, you know? You ever notice that? And I mean, jokes been made about how Italian people speak with their hands.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the no-name bookie, he's driving, right? 75 miles an hour, going by a semi, and his hands ain't even on the wheel. His hands are going. He's telling a story, and his hands are all over. I'm hollering at him.
Keep your hands.
Put
on
your
the wheel.
Damn hands on the wheel. What's the matter with you? You want me to grab it? Put your hand. And I even asked him, "Why is it you Italian people all got to talk with your hands? You ever leave your hands on the darn wheel?" Then he starts playing with his cell phone. And he's not calling on it or anything. We needed directions on where we were going, so he's playing with it, trying to plug in to get the, what do they call that?
The GPS,
yeah. And instead of, like, maybe letting me do it or holding on to the steering wheel with one hand at least, oh, no, he every now and then he's got to tweak the steering wheel because he starts veering a little bit. I started hollering at him for that, too. Why is that? That guy, he drives me nuts when we go someplace. That's why I always tell him, I'll drive. Let me drive. We'll take my vehicle.
I don't know.
Oh, anyway, I just had to bring that up.
He had to call him the no hands bookie.
Yeah, that's what we should call him.
Drives with no hands. Speaking of bookie,
yeah.
Super Bowl was last Sunday, and it seems like it was already 6 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was just last Sunday, but all of a sudden it seems like that was so long ago because so many stories and so much happening in the world later. But right before the game, I told Ted from Lunkers Unlimited. I'm sitting next to him at Park Avenue Pizza, and I said to him, "You know, I'm not a gambler, but if I were to bet anything on this game, I would bet $100 on the under right now."
Well,
it hit the under, right? Because it was like 54 or something like that.
Yep. Matter of fact, my two picks on the show last week, that betting Kansas City in the under. I wish I was a betting guy. I wish I would have took. I wish I would have made a bet. But
did I take the over or the under? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I thought I was hoping you had it like written down.
Something. All right.
No. So
I'll just say I said under.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watched the first half, and then I turned it off and thought I'm going to doze and wake up to watch the second half because I didn't want to watch the halftime show.
You didn't miss anything.
And you know why? Because I thought to myself, I've seen this publicized and all this stuff. You're just going to see these two chicks out there just trying to act like strippers and just act like they're super cool instead of me just listening to music.
Yeah.
Then I read complaints later, and that's exactly. It's all about, remember I said that when they sing the national anthem, if it's about look at me, the show, it's all about look at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so hot.
The two girls,
Shakira and J-Lo.
Well, first of all, there's no way you can dance like that and actually sing. Don't give me that crap. It's all lip sync. There's no way Shakira was playing the drums or playing the guitar. That was so unreal. It was stupid. And then they always showing their crotches, you know, and rubbing themselves.
Then they want to inspire young girls of color. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's like they were acting like a couple of tramps. That's what they were acting like. I mean, it was a wonderful performance as far as all the stage and the lights and the people and blah, blah, blah. But it's like we didn't need the stripper pole. We didn't need the crotch shots, you know. We didn't need the Aguilera's tongue wagging up and down. Did you see that one? Oh, God. It's like,
and this
cut
is
it
coming
out.
From guys who were not a couple of prudes, right?
No. I mean, I.
You know,
definitely not a prude.
But it's like, what?
Yeah.
It's become, I just hate the look at me. It's all about, one of the gals that I was talking with, Park Ave, she goes, well, you know, last year the guy took his shirt off for the girls during the performance. Well,
that was a stupid performance last year.
Stupid too.
Yeah.
You know,
that was dumb.
That's why I'm done with the halftime performances.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about some big, you know, look at me show type thing. And just sing.
I don't know.
If you're going to sing, sing, you know, if you prefer, I don't know.
Sam, did you watch it?
Yeah, I thought it was, it was better than most years, but it's not saying much.
It's not, it's not cracked up. When I was at the 96 Super Bowl, I loved the halftime show.
Yeah, they used to be so good.
Because it was, it went rolling from one group to the next. And it was ZZ Top
playing their great
hits.
Yeah.
Then it went into the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Too bad, of course, John Belushi wasn't there, but they were still great.
Yeah.
Then they had Harley Davidson's driving around motorcycles around the outside.
Yeah, that was cool.
Kind of like Wisconsin theme.
Yeah.
It was a great, fun show. And you didn't have anybody up there, you know, trying to make the show about that. It's all about me.
Yeah.
That's the generation
and
we live in.
And what? So many, you know, did you see that one graphic where advertisers paid $5.6 million for a 30-second commercial? So I guess a one-minute commercial was maybe almost double, right? Do you remember any of them? And what,
honest to God,
half of them, I didn't even know who they were advertising for.
I should have been in marketing because I think of ads all the time. And some of the ones,
same here.
The ones that I see, when you got to ask yourself, what was that about and who were they advertising?
Yeah.
It has totally failed and been off.
It is
off
terrible.
The mark.
I know there was the one that I remember that I laughed that I thought was good was the guy who played in Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. The Mountain Dew one.
Yeah. And he was being like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. When he's sticking his head through the door, he actually looked like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
He looked like him. That one I remembered. Yeah, I remember what it was for.
Cranston? Something Cranston?
Oh, that's Cranston, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the actor.
Like that.
Was it Mountain Dew?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was Mountain
Dew. See, I remember that one.
I think I only saw
it once because all of a sudden you see the Mountain Dew bottle.
Yeah.
You remember when Doritos commercials?
Oh, they had some funny ones.
Some of the ones years ago used to be where the guy's biting into it and all of a sudden it goes crunch, you know, and all of a sudden, what's that noise, you know, because it's so crunchy and noisy. My idea for a hunting Doritos commercial would be some dudes in the deer stand.
There you go.
Right? Yeah. And he's up there, and here comes the buck down the forest path, and he's just drawing on the buck, and all of a sudden, crunch.
Some guy in another deer stand.
And the buck takes off, and all of a sudden he looks over, and there's some other guy in the other deer stand with the bag of Doritos in his hand going, what? What do you mean? And the guy giving him a dirty look.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
Or nowadays, it could be the cameraman shooting over the guy's shoulder, because normally these guys film their own hunting shows. So the guy could turn around and there'd be the cameraman with the bag of Doritos, you know, that's supposedly shooting the kill.
I got a quick story for you about that exact same thing. When the TV show Outdoor Wisconsin first started, Dan Small was the hunting guy, okay? I'm the fishing guy. He's the hunting guy. The first time he went deer hunting with the camera crew. Now, just imagine, Danny, you're going to go out with these guys. You're up in a tree stand, right?
Right.
You've washed all your clothes with the no scent stuff. You know, you're doing everything right.
What you got from the no scent
cookie. Right. So, and you're up there. Now, on the bottom, below the tree, where you are, there's a field producer, there's a cameraman, and there's the audio guy. There's three guys standing below you. One guy is smoking a cigarette. One guy's chewing gum. The other guy is playing with little knobs and dials that's going click, 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 click. And you think you're going to see a deer? No way.
They didn't get any deer on that one.
They didn't see a darn thing.
Yeah.
So,
technology's gotten a lot better as far as the type of cameras people can carry.
But the thing was, is that the TV people down there at PBS, they didn't know a damn thing about fishing or hunting, and we didn't really know anything about TV stuff, you know?
So it wasn't a good marriage initially.
At first, no, it was difficult. It was tough, but we all learned. But anyway, so I can understand that Doritos one would be awesome. That would be a good one.
How long did that take you to think about? And it's already better than probably half the Super Bowl commercials.
Oh, yeah. It just popped into my head. You could do so many. I had some other ones.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Oh, and here's another thing. The companies that can afford to do ads during the Super Bowl, they're charging way too much for their product.
Yeah.
Well, if they can spend that kind of money, especially if they've got in that 4-hour period, if they got 2, 3, 4 ads, they're charging way too much for their product.
Yeah,
because that's the only way they could have that kind of money to throw around.
I guess the Groundhog Day one with Bill Murray. They did. There was a commercial with Bill Murray.
That was good.
Yeah, I think I missed that one.
I saw that one before.
Yeah,
came out a couple hours beforehand.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, my problem is all the commercials, they just take themselves too serious now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not, nobody takes the comedic approach anymore. And that's how you don't become memorable as a Super Bowl ad.
Yeah.
That's my biggest
threat. They're not trying to be. I thought they all tried to be funny, or are they trying to be woke and serious?
Most of them are trying to be woke and serious.
They're trying to be woke and serious.
They're trying to be woke.
Trying to.
What's woke? I've heard that term.
You don't know what woke is?
I've heard it.
I found out about a year ago.
Nobody explained it to me.
Explain it. Explain it, Lucy.
Trying to think. So basically,
politically,
you're ahead of the curve. Like, you already know.
Oh, hell, I'm really woke.
Okay, woke is kind of woke is like if you're
woken up.
You're politically correct. You're in tune to the environmental and racism and all the bad things in this world.
I'm not woke then, am I?
No,
I'm not.
Yeah,
it's okay to not be woke.
Yeah, I'm not woke.
I wonder if there'll be an anti-woke revolution.
Here's a funny one. You know what? Wait a minute. You know what BOGO is?
Buy one, get one.
BOGO the clown?
No. Let's see if Danny knows. Do you know what BOGO is? I'm driving, while you're thinking, I'll tell you. I'm driving down the freeway last year, and I see this big sign, you know, a billboard, and it says BOGO. And it's showing some, I don't know, ad for someplace.
Bring on girls
and I'm wondering, and so when I get home.
No, not quite.
No, when I get home, I say to my wife, I say, what the hell is a BOGO? And she looks at me derisively.
Derisively, big word.
Derisively, yeah.
Has anyone ever looked at you derisively?
I've never heard that one.
Well, that's how she looked at me.
I'm going to use that later on today.
Derisively.
Dare be
derisive. You could be derisive or derisively, you know.
I'm dropping you off, honey, if you start getting derisive. I can only stand for a few things. And
don't get derisive. Well,
derisive is not one of them.
She looks at me. Funny. How's that?
Okay.
She looks at me and she says, buy one, get one. And I said, oh, well, why don't they just say that instead of BOGO? I don't know what the hell BOGO is. Yeah, buy one, get one. So you BOGO. Buy one and you get one
buy
for
one,
free.
Get one.
Buy one, get one. BOGO. It's like, who comes up with this weird stuff? Trying to fool us old people when we're going down the road and see these weird names. Hey, well, you know,
it's all acronyms, though.
Yeah.
It's all about acronyms. Yeah. Nothing's worse than work in the educational field. And it's acronym city.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I don't even keep up with it. Fortunately, I only got about 3 months left
to
figure out what these acronyms mean.
And then you won't care anymore.
Huh?
Then you won't care.
Well,
this woke person's got to do a commercial. We got to go to a commercial break.
Stay tuned. Down with the cause, buddy.
That's right.
Come on. Join the revolution.
I don't want no stinking revolution. Be
a Bernie supporter.
Yeah,
Bernie. Most of his supporters are pretty woke, buddy.
Yeah, they're woke, all right. Well, I'm getting unwoke.
He needs to get a haircut. I mean, maybe he should just shave it. His hair is always kind of like in disarray.
Sam, just take us to a commercial.
Traveling in a fighter. All right, welcome back to the Skibberbuds Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush. My cohort, the woke Tom Hardbottom Neubauer, is getting his cup of coffee, and there he is. He's rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. He could go and fall off his. Remember the time you fell off your chair? Your chair. All of a sudden, I and John are sitting there, and all of a sudden, kaboom! It was like a giant sequoia going down in the forest.
It was so
funny.
But
it was like watching it in slow motion as you finally hit the ground. Thank God you were
and
okay.
All three of us were just laughing hysterically. It was. Well, that's when we had those short chairs, and if you lean the wrong way.
Well,
they fly.
Well, once you got the old center of balance going the wrong direction, you couldn't quite get that baby back.
Yeah, hey, Danny, we got to let people know that at 7:05, we got Jim from the Muskie Shop up there in Hazelhurst that used to be called Raleigh and Helens. He's going to be calling at 7:05 today talking about the Muskie Expo that's at Washington County on February 14th, 15th, and 16th. And a little later on in the show, I'm going to be giving away two free tickets, which are they're 3-day passes, so you can go every day for 3 days for free.
Every day.
Every day.
That's good.
That's if you want to go
every
day.
And that's coming up.
Yeah, that's not too far away.
That's next weekend.
Today's the 8th. Yeah, that's next week.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the kind of kickoff to the big, big show season.
Mm-hmm.
The
coffee's good.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you're happy. So anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, fisheries. There are a bunch of fisheries still going on.
Oh, yeah.
I believe Waterfront will have another one this weekend. Pretty much for this week, I think next weekend, there's one on Saturday and Sunday at Waterfront. And most of the local area, little lakes and bars, that now's the time. And so get out, take advantage of those, support some of the local clubs.
Maybe we could get a little help from the audience here. Folks, I understand that Battle on Bago was canceled.
Really?
That because of the unsafe ice conditions on Lake Winnebago. Now, maybe one of our listeners could call us at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Maybe Tex in the Big Rig.
I was thinking
Rig could,
Tex in the Big Rig or my buddy Brian, who's probably home listening with a hangover right now. He might have just reached over and turned on his clock radio. If he's listening, he could probably call. He normally does that one, but they are doing the sturgeon starting today, I believe.
That's starting today?
Yeah, so that's the shoe goes on. The show goes on as promised. So I haven't really heard much as far as what the water clarity is up there and the conditions.
Yeah.
But that's a huge deal.
That is. That is a big deal for a lot of people. They're into that, like, you know, like some people are into deer hunting. Some people are into, let's say, musky fishing. Some people are into that sturgeon spearing.
If you
know?
Ever want to just take a drive, like on a weekend like now, and nothing to do for the day, drive up to that Winnebago area and go to the bars where they register them. I think one name is Wentz.
Yeah, Wentz Marina.
W-E-N-D-T-S. Yeah. And there's another one. And it's like super cool.
It's a party atmosphere.
You see people lined up weighing in these 100-pound sturgeon. And then I went into the bar and they had them laying on the pool table. They had a plastic sheet down.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but they had these sturgeon there. And it's really cool to see that.
Every time I was at Wentz, they had really good chili. And in the wintertime, that's nice to have.
I wouldn't want to be around you after. I don't like being around me after chili. Oh. But, yeah, so that's pretty cool. You know, one thing that they've gotten away with, and I was talking to a friend of mine, Ox. He owns the bar, and he used to register deer at his bar.
Yeah.
Up until the time they changed it, right, where you don't do the in person right registration. And you know, he and I were both saying that, you know, that's really a shame, because people, just like people would bring the sturgeon and where everybody can see it, yeah, and socialize, people could bring the deer to the registration and show off their big bucks, and people can talk and. We've lost something with that. I used to like driving into a gas station and seeing all the big bucks on the back of people's cars back in the day.
Yeah, they changed that. You know, they might go back to that, though. They might go, because the DNR is realizing that there's a big percentage of people that are not registering their deer.
There's a number of people, I think, that aren't even buying a goddang license.
Probably not.
I mean, you get... I mean, yeah.
But I mean, you know, I mean, if you don't register it, there's no way for the DNR to tell, and then you just go out and shoot another one, and go out and shoot another one, and that's why the deer count is probably off, too.
I guess the one magazine I was telling you that I left sitting on the table at the Waukesha Conservation League banquet last night is that Midwest, Wisconsin Outdoors.
Yeah, Outdoor News.
The title article said something about the deer kill being the lowest since 93 or something, I want
to say. And I think part of that is the people who are not registering, you're right, and then going out and getting another one. But, I mean, they're not registering a lot of these deers, so guess what? The deer count's
going to
be down.
Well, a lot of people just take it, put it in their shed, cut it up within one day.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to call it in. Yeah. They give you 24 hours. Yeah. I think they should require you to register it that day.
Yeah. That day.
And that day, because you can do it online, you can do it on the phone. And do they even make it possible to go to a place and register one now? When they first came out with the system, you'd had either the option where you could call it in or you could go and get it registered. But I think, I don't know. I never thought it was a pain to register it. You know, there were plenty of gas stations or sports shops, whatever, around. You could just drive your deer there and get it registered.
There's another thing we got to mention, too, that I got to mention, and I might mention it in the second hour as well. I was supposed to mention it last week, and I forgot. There's a fish consumption advisory on Monona Bay out there on Lake Monona.
Well, that's what the guy – didn't the guy call us about that?
I don't remember. Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but – I've heard it from a number of people, and what strikes me as funny is I guess there's some river or creek that it, I don't know if it was some kind of spill or whatever it was.
I heard something about
something bad came into Monona Bay, and the DNR is advising if you're going to eat any fish out of Monona Bay, you should only eat them once a month. That's how bad it is, right? So my question is, why are there still 500 people in Monona Bay catching and keeping the bluegills? Why? I mean, I wouldn't go nowhere near that place.
You want to know why, Tom?
I don't know.
You want to know why?
Yeah, okay, I want to know why.
Can you handle the truth?
I can handle the truth.
I'll tell you the truth. So basically, you got a bunch of grumpy, older, ornery, sodbuster, curmudgeons.
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 Yeah, curmudgeons.
I don't care. I've been eating these fish for 50 years. Yeah. God dang, there's nothing wrong with these. I'm going to eat them. And if something kills me, is they have a smoke. And go back to the bar for a shot of whiskey.
Yeah.
If this kills me, so be it. So yeah. They don't care.
I know.
They're not worrying about those advisories.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of scary. I wouldn't be eating there. I would stay away from that place. That's for sure.
Speaking of pollution, I found it interesting. The DNR is looking after a long cleanup. The DNR is looking at possibly removing this lower river system of the Great Lakes, removing it from the list of the 43 most polluted. And can you guess what river system that is?
Fox?
No. I was really amazed. The Menominee.
Oh, the Menominee.
The lower Menominee. Apparently that 3 miles, which is famed now for walleye and muskie now. Our buddy Big O got a giant 55-inch or something up there.
What part of the Menominee is it?
The lower three miles. It goes right into the Bay of Green Bay, right by Marinette.
Menominee. Okay, Menominee River up there. Because there's a Menominee River by me.
Yeah, that don't count. That's just southeastern Wisconsin. Piece of crap Menominee River. No, we're talking the mighty Menominee up there.
The mighty Menominee.
Border of UP and Wisconsin.
Yes, okay.
I was born next to that river. God bless it.
Now we're talking.
So anyway, I never realized that was considered super polluted. And evidently, some of the things they mentioned, coal tar, paint sludge.
Oh, Jesus.
And arsenic.
Oh, God.
Arsenic. Now,
how does arsenic get in the river?
Last I heard about arsenic was on IDTV Discovery when some woman was poisoning her husband, I think. Isn't that arsenic supposed to be like
that?
Yeah,
that is a...
That's a bad one.
Yeah, that's what they
you
gave...
You don't want to miss the arsenic. Mix that up with the oregano or the garlic or anything, because arsenic will kill you.
They forced Socrates to drink hemlock, which had arsenic in
it. Really? Fascinating. You learn history from you, Tom. You know so much. You're such a genius. Hemlock has arsenic?
From what I gather, I mean, I'm not an expert in poisons, but that's what I understand.
I thought you were an expert in everything.
Oh, no. I'm a, what do they call it, a jack of all trades, master
I know a little
of none?
Bit. You know, you're the type of guy that knows just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, just enough to be dangerous.
Person who's just enough dangerous is who knows just a little bit about something.
Yep.
And has a lot of BS in them. Those are the people.
No,
politicians.
Now, there
they're the dangerous people of the world. They know just a little bit of knowledge, but a lot of BS, and that can carry them places, and that makes them dangerous.
That's what differentiates me from the politicians. I don't have the BS in me. I just tell it the way it is. Well, you know what the guys on the big show say? Well, maybe you can help on this, Sam. They say straight 100. Is that a term?
Yeah, keep it 100.
Keeping it 100 or straight 100?
No, keep it 100.
Keeping it 100. 100 what?
Keep it 100%.
100 miles an hour?
Keep it 100%.
100% real and truthful.
Real? Yeah?
I'm going to keep it 100% real and truthful instead of hornswoggling you and pulling your leg.
I got to
tease. Like a hornswoggle.
Yeah. I got to tease
never
my.
Never keeps it 100%.
I got to tease my friend Gary 50%. Ellerson about that. I'm going to tell him one day, hey, I'm keeping it 82.
Listen, most people on the old keeping it 100 meter throughout life, face it, most of us keep things at about 75 to 80%.
Yeah.
When it comes to dealing with your kid.
Oh.
Do you can't tell them the entire truth when they say, can we go so-and-so afterwards? Well, maybe.
Or
okay,
it's like,
you're not keeping it 100 with the kid. You ain't no way you're going to go there, but you tell the kid, well, maybe.
Or it's like you got a 5-year-old and they've got a school play for the first grader, 7-year-old, whatever age. All right, and they got a school play and they're up there singing and they're sound like crap, right? But when they come off, you tell them, oh, you were so wonderful, honey. You sounded great.
Yeah. Or when your wife asks you if they look fat in that dress, and you say no.
No,
you're
not
keeping it 100.
No.
Right?
Right. Hey, we got...
So nobody keeps it totally 100
no,
all the time.
No, you can't.
Lies. Well, lies are what keep relationships
little white
together,
lies.
I've been told.
Yep, little white lies. All right, we got to go to a break. Coming up next is the Gut Report. And after the Gut Report, I got a special announcement about North Lake. You're going to like this. You definitely don't want to miss this, so stay tuned. Or more of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors with Dan Bush, Tom Neubauer, and Sam's on the boards.
It's a hard knock life for us. It's a hard knock life for us. Status treated, we
eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. You know, this time of year when it's chilly outside and that, I like something hot in my belly. I like a, you ever like butternut squash, acorn squash? I mean, I really like those. You know, you slice them in half, you clean out the seeds, you put them upside down on a cookie sheet in the oven at 400 degrees for, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour, whatever it takes. So they're nice and soft. Wait till they cool down so that you can handle them. Scoop out all the insides and then add butter and brown sugar. Man, it is delicious. I don't know if you like it, but I do. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you'll find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
It's a hard knock life for us. It's a hard knock life for us.
Hey, Danny, can I do this?
You can do whatever you want.
All right. I'm going to give away two tickets.
Gotcha.
To the next to the Muskie show next weekend, who can tell me what was the musical this song was from? Turn it up a little bit so they can hear it.
Tommy.
Well, you can't
see
answer.
Me.
I'm going to give away tickets. Oh, you want the tickets. That's it. All right, 799-1250. Okay, we got a couple callers. We got callers calling right now. So phone lines are lit up.
You just did that to see if someone was listening to us, Tom.
Yeah.
You were just grumbling about nobody
calling us. I'm asking people for help.
You got to give stuff away, and next thing you know, now everybody's awake.
I'm asking people for help. They're not calling and helping me.
Yeah.
All right. Who do you got there?
Chris in Waukesha.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Do you go to the Muskie show usually?
I do.
Yeah, well, then you'll like these tickets. You can go any one of the 3 days or all 3 days.
Lucky guy.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, what's the name of the musical?
Annie.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot to ask you that first. Well, you did get it right. All right. Well, listen, stay on the line, and Sam is going to get your info, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, here you go.
Annie.
Annie, here's
what kind of guy would go see Annie?
I don't know.
Did your wife make you go?
No, I didn't see it.
Well, how'd you know the song?
From the Austin Powers show. The Austin Powers movie.
Did he make like a spoof of that
something?
Yeah, he drew from that.
Dr. Evil and Mini-Me were in a prison someplace, and they were walking down the aisle singing it. It's a Hard Knocks Life. Anyway, here we go with the update, Dan. Okay.
What update?
New launch site for North Lake.
Okay.
New launch site now? Wait a minute. What do you mean, Tom? New launch site. Well, I cannot divulge my sources, I understand.
Don't tell us who the whistleblower was.
No, I understand that the DNR wants to sell.
Vindman knows them.
The site that they have now on the, what would that be? That would be the southwest side of the lake. They want to sell that property. And by property, or they either already are in negotiations, have bought, will buy, I'm not exactly sure, but over by the old post office where the boat launch used to be years ago.
Okay.
So they want to turn that into a boat launch, but I don't know how much property is available or if it's bought or they're going to buy it or whatever, but they want to sell the other property. So what does this tell us, Dan? That this North Lake thing is going to go on for another 5 years.
So what was wrong? You know,
was wrong with the other site?
My good buddy Dave Doms worked for the DNR.
Yeah.
I believe he's off working for Utah somewhere, DNR or whatever. He was the one involved in purchasing that, I believe, years ago. What was wrong with that piece of property?
Yeah, piece of property
is
fine.
And then all the locals fought it, and that's why it never happened. So now they're going to do the same thing with this other piece of property.
And
they don't care what part of the lake that launches on. They just don't want any launch on the lake, and they're going to fight it, and it's not going to go. It's going to go on.
And you know what our tax dollars paid for? Our tax dollars paid for architects to draw the designs, which they've been paid for, to put up the design for that boat launch on the southwest part of the lake. Now the DNR is going to pay them again to design the new launch. It's like, how many times are these people going to get paid without a launch being built? It drives me nuts, Danny. It just drives me nuts. If I was only king for a day.
Well, I guess you're just not going to go fish on North Lake. Hey, couple of other information here. I was reading the DNR, along with some other, you know, like state agencies, I guess, are recommending to people to get flood insurance.
Really?
Apparently, they're anticipating, apparently because of all the white rain or stuff we got, that this spring we could have some flooding problems again once snow and ice start melting.
I suppose it depends on where.
So recommending, and I'm sure certain areas are more susceptible than others. And apparently with flood insurance, too, you got to buy it like 30 days in advance before the flood.
Right, yeah.
So like you can't buy it today and, flood tomorrow and expect to get covered.
Yeah.
I do know John, our good friend John, he pretty much, when we had the flood out on Pewaukee, he pretty much said FEMA didn't do much as far as squat for them, as far as helping them out, you know, as far as they just pretty much say, oh, you got to have insurance, and they're not going to help people unless you're, you know, like living in a shelter and your, you know, your tent got flooded. Maybe they'll help those people. But if you are a wealthy landowner and have anything destroyed there, you're out of luck from getting any help.
There
from
was
the government.
Probably almost like a foot of water in the Muskie shop. You know, that was that really sucked.
There was 18 inches of water in the building I live in. I had to
Was there really? I didn't know
I
that.
Had to,
yeah.
I woke up in the morning and looked out and saw carp swimming next to my truck. And I thought, could be a problem. So then I
could be.
So I had to wade through 18 inches of water in and out of my place to go to work for a week and no power in my place for a week. Yeah, I had to survive like that.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a real, real bummer.
Yeah, that would be. Jeez.
So, yep.
Carp swimming by your truck.
Yeah, it's right by the tire. Yeah, I think, let's see, which truck did I have?
That's kind of funny.
I think I had my 89 Dodge Dakota convertible at the time. Yeah, and they were splashing. They were splish splashing. They were having, they were frolicking. The carp were having fun in the parking lot next to my truck.
Hey, you know what's coming up next, Dan?
What's coming up next, Tom?
The Hornswoggle.
Oh, the Hornswoggle segment.
Yeah, somebody can win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market out there in Menominee Falls on Pilgrim and Silver Spring. As a matter of fact, I keep saying I got to go out and see Paul, the owner of Carl's, and I got to go out there, talk to him, and see if he'll come on the show because he's got some great stories. He's quite an outdoorsman, you know, so we got to get him on the show.
I'm going to quit talking about it, Tom.
I know. I got to take a ride
cheap,
over
it
there.
It takes money to buy whiskey. Let's get him down here.
And so, Danny, they're going to win a $10 gift certificate if they guess correctly.
If you have won a prize package from the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors in the last 4 or 5 weeks or so, try and give some new blood a chance to win something. And the prizes and the good things you get is the sole responsibility of Tom over here, not the station.
No. Sole responsibility of Cutting Edge Outdoors and our sponsors. And so if you got any questions or comments, you should direct them to ceoguys@yahoo.com. And just to let you know, I gave Sam the list of names who have won in the last 6 weeks. So if your name's on there, don't call. Sam will hang up on you. He's ruthless that way.
Checking it twice.
He's checking it twice. Like he's like Santa Claus, checking the list twice.
They want to give someone a chance to
win. That's right.
And that Carl's Country Market has some great stuff over there, too.
So, all right, folks, we'll be right back with more of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors right here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, 799-1250 if you have hunting and fishing reports this morning. But right now, we have the long-awaited Hornswoggle segment. I'm going to make three statements about the great outdoors or about something. And if it's true, you say no, Hornswoggle. If it's false, you say that's a Hornswoggle.
You say, don't be Hornswoggling
me. That's a Hornswoggle. I'm pulling your leg. So, right. Do we have a lucky corntestant?
Yes, we do. Our corntestant is Kevin from Milwaukee.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Okay, so you know how this works, right, Kevin?
I sure do.
All right, so here we go. As many of you know, I shot a Red Fox with a .22 long rifle a couple weeks ago. It was pretty cool. So we'll talk. The topic is .22 rimfire today. The .22 rimfire was born in 1845 when a Frenchman named Flaubert stuck a BB atop a then new percussion cap and fired it. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That's a Hornswoggle.
That's a no Hornswoggle.
Really?
No Hornswoggle. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good old Flaubert. He kind of started the old ball a rolling. So here we go. But we'll see how you do. Okay. Smith & Wesson then in the U.S. produced the first .22 rimfire in the 1800s, and it was a .22 short firing a 29 grain bullet at approximately 800 feet per second. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That's you got hard questions this morning. That's a Hornswoggle.
I thought
that was a no Hornswoggle. I wasn't sure, though.
22. Oh, yeah. Sorry, we had some tough ones there. Yeah. So.
And nobody knows these.
Yeah.
Except Danny.
Except Danny. One out of the two. Well, let's see. You got a shot yet because, wait. No, you missed both of them.
No.
All right. Oh, geez. Sorry, Kevin.
Kevin, you make sure you call back next week,
all right? Next time I won't have such a hard one.
Danny promises to have easier questions for you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep.
We're going to tell Sam to wait for your call, you know, that make sure that we get you on, all right?
I'll be here all week, man.
Sounds good.
All right.
We'll see you.
Thanks. Yep. Bye now.
Morning.
You too. Bye now.
Well, the Flaubert one was kind of difficult.
When you said Flaubert, I figured that's got to be a Hornswoggle.
But the one where the first was the .22 short at about 800 feet per second, 29.
I kind of figured that might be right. You know, Smith & Wesson was big in the building stuff.
U.S. You know, let's see if you would have got the next one. The .22, so there was the .22 short, then the .22 long, then the .22 long rifle, and then, of course, the .22 Magnum, which was my new purchase last year. The .22 Magnum was introduced in 1995. .22 Magnum.
I'm going to guess that that's a Hornswoggle.
Yeah, 1959.
Okay.
Because remember growing up as young boys, young lads, you remember those days way back when, Tom?
Matter
the good old
of
days?
Fact.
Think about it.
I'm just trying to remember.
You had some friends who had a .22 Magnum. Or
yes.
You heard of a .22 Magnum?
No, I had a Ruger Single Six that had interchangeable barrels. One of them was for .22 longs.
For the cylinder, the handgun, right?
Yeah. And one was for the long, it was for the Magnum.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had interchangeable cylinders. Yeah, that's right. I did have one of them. Yeah.
So you had that before 1995, of course. Right?
Oh, yeah. That was, yes.
I wonder if, you know, I've heard that would be a fantastic firearm to have. Interchangeable cylinders where you
could
fire either .22 Magnum or the .22 long rifle.
Yep.
And the .22 Magnum out of a handgun has the same punch as a .22 long rifle out of a rifle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know
that if you have a caliber, Tom, it's going to shoot, you know, way less. It's not going to be near as fast out of a handgun as it is out of a rifle.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
That has something to do with the length of the barrel and the rifling?
Well, no, it has to do with having the chance for all the powder and everything to use its full power.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because if it's shot out of a short barrel, it hasn't had enough chance to, build the speed, the momentum, and burn all that, you know, all the jet fuel in that bullet, right?
Okay.
So, like, if you shoot a .22 long rifle load at 1,300 feet per second, 40 grain, typically out of a rifle barrel, you're going to be substantially slower. Out of a pistol, I'm guessing probably about maybe 1,000 feet per second, maybe 900 feet per second.
So on the box of .22 ammo, a lot of times they'll say the feet per second. Let's say it says on a CSI, it says 1260.
Yeah.
Okay. So that'll actually be faster out of the rifle and slower out of the handgun?
No, that speed is based out of a rifle barrel.
Oh, okay.
Typically, they'll use test barrels, I think, of about 22 inches. If you ever read the ballistics charts, they'll say shot out of a such-and-such length barrel.
Mm.
Same with Magnum rifles. Like, if you get a 26-inch barrel on, like, a 30-06, that last couple inches of barrel is just wasted. But on a Magnum rifle... which carries a lot of powder and so forth, you can pick up some speed if you have a big Magnum cartridge. That couple extra inches might pick up some, you know, feet per second in velocity.
All right. Well, we just got to edumacate it on that. We got some emails here. Jason says, Battle on Bagel was not canceled. ATVs and UTVs mostly being used on Bagel. Mostly decent ice with some soft spots. North End ice seems better than South End. Water clarity is not real good. So they did not cancel the Battle on Bagel. Thank you, Jason. What? You got a caller. That's right.
We had another
call. Bushy was yakking there for a while.
Sorry. Blame it on me
away. Yeah, it was your fault.
Okay, yeah, you forgot over there.
What? Well, who's this on the line?
John in Oak Creek.
John, we thank you for holding. Bushy apologizes.
No, I don't. People got to learn how to hold on and be patient in this world. You call the big show, you'll be on hold till Christmas.
Okay, what's up, John?
I know more about 22 cartridges than I ever wanted to know.
Yeah, that's good. Right. Glad you're learning.
I used to squirrel hunt. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Okay, well, the podium is all yours.
Anyhow, the tournament, the same thing. I brought up the website. It hasn't been canceled yet. They canceled it in 2017, but I was at Wheat Farm yesterday on Highway Q, and there was no information about the tournament whatsoever.
Really?
I bought my tickets there 3 years in a row. There was no signs, no nothing, which doesn't mean anything because it's at participating Wheat Farms, you know? And I think they're getting ready to close that one up anyhow.
Really?
They're talking, yeah.
Really? I mean, that's the one that I go to.
Which one?
The one on Highway Q.
That's the one I've been going to for years. Because of their new one on 94, they're not having quite the business there. So from what the girl that works in the men's department told me, that they're thinking about closing that down and getting people to go to the one on 94.
Where is that one on 94?
Is that the one by Delafield, you mean?
I think it's 167 or...
Yeah, Highway 67 and 94.
Oh,
Tom.
My God. 67 and 94, that's a long ride.
Well, not for me.
A long ride. The one on 175 in Q is a lot shorter for me. My goodness.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, you go out there, all the money you're planning on saving just went into your gas tank. Anyhow, the water clarity, I heard early this morning, it's 7 to 10 feet on Winnebago.
Yeah.
And the other thing, that question about the arsenic in the river, where a lot of it probably came from, is if they've done any exterior wood treatment up there. They used to use arsenic to treat the wood.
Yeah, what do they call that do to the railroad ties?
Yeah, was that, that wasn't creosote, was it?
Was that in creosote?
I'm not sure what it was in, but I know California passed the law because they're making exterior lumber into kids, swings and stuff,
And they're poisoning the kids?
The new stuff they use is just absolutely terrible to work with. I had to wait 13 months for it to dry out one time just to paint a small deck.
Wow. Because I know those railroad ties with that. Is it creosote or creosol?
And it's kind of like a black kind of oily kind of a stuff, and it really has a smell to
it. I'll tell you what. Railroad ties, after they've got those in, that creosote in there, and then the railroad, the trains go over them. And I'll tell you what. Those things are so freaking heavy. And then try to cut them. Forget a chainsaw. Chainsaw will just get all clogged up. You got to use a Sawzall. And those things are heavy.
Because they soak that in?
Yeah, and then with the trains, they compact that wood so tight.
Well, they must do that to, like, waterproof it, I'm thinking, so it doesn't rot.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting.
And miss you at Sherpers, Tom.
Well, I'm back now. I'm back. Last week, I was there yesterday and the week before. So every Friday I'm there in the morning.
Okay, yeah, I talk to one of the young guys. I think you're there about one day a week.
Yeah, right now, you know, just getting back in the swing of things. Got to make the spring order and stuff, and we got a bunch of ice fishing stuff on sale, and, you know, just,
yeah,
it has not,
there.
Huh?
Your sporting goods department's starting to look really good.
Yeah, it is. It really is. They've given me a little bit more freedom in that, so. Yeah,
we got Tom to thank there.
All right, well, listen, we got to run to a break. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. See you, John.
Stop in and see me and say hi, okay, John?
Yeah. Sounds good, Tom.
Sorry, right, Tom didn't get you on right away. He was rambling on.
All right,
John.
Now he's rambling again. All right, take us to a break, Sam. We got to go.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is now time for the second hour of the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. I do appreciate you tuning us in this morning. We come to you live every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., and you can be part of the show at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can get in touch with us via email at the Smokies inbox at ceoguys@yahoo.com. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmidt's on the board. You can hear. Are you going to be doing the morning show next week too?
Yeah.
Oh, so you can hear Sam Monday through Friday.
Oh, I thought you meant this morning show.
No,
next
no.
week. I was like, yeah, I'm here every Saturday.
No, no. I'm talking the morning show during the week. No?
Brian should be back on Monday.
He should be okay.
Keyword should.
All right. He should. Anyway, and in a few minutes we'll have Jim from the Muskie Shop in Hazelhurst. That was formerly Raleigh and Helens. I drove by there this past last Labor Day, and they ought to just not even call it Hazelhurst anymore. It's all part of Minocqua. It's all one. Minocqua starts before Hazelhurst and ends after Woodruff. I mean,
I always thought it's huge. Woodruff and Minocqua were like one in the same, basically. They're kind of connected.
Years ago, there was a separation, maybe about a half a mile, okay, to a mile. There was a separation. Now it's separated by a stoplight.
We used to drive up from Green Bay to Superior, Duluth, where we had the hunting land and the grandparents, and that would be our halfway point, stopping there, about 150 miles from Green Bay. And we'd always go to there's a little restaurant there. I want to say it was called the Trade Winds or the Trade something. And it was right about on the border between the two cities. And we'd always go there for our halfway break as a kid.
I know whenever I was up there years ago when I would do guiding up there, we'd always stop at the Island Cafe, which was basically across the street from Bosaki's. And they had the best biscuits and gravy. It was great. I looked forward to that every time I went up there. So that was at the Island Cafe.
The Island Cafe.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those memories of going up to northern Wisconsin hunting or fishing, especially if it was with your dad, you got those memories of those places that you'd stop.
Yeah.
The one little restaurant. I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to that.
When we used to go with a caravan, we'd go for a week or two up north, and it was like the whole family,
the Neubauer clan.
Yeah, my brothers and their kids and all that, and the aunts and uncles.
Like,
you know,
six station wagons in a row.
If there was seven cottages at a resort, we'd have them all rented.
I mean, God.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch
like
of
all you know, guys.
But I remember we
like
would stop
in the Griswolds
right outside of Clintonville. We'd stop.
Oh yeah, Clintonville.
And my brother Bill would bring out his portable bar. It was like and he'd be mixing drinks, you know, for my dad and my uncles and my older brothers.
Where would
and
you be like would you be like in some parking lot
yeah,
somewhere?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was a rest stop or something like that, you know. And it's like nowadays you couldn't do that.
Probably not.
Nowadays, you couldn't stop and have an old-fashioned before you continued on the road.
Don't you need a liquor license to be serving in somebody's parking lot?
It was, you know, when I think about it. And then I remember my one uncle, he was always designated to carry the cane poles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these were 12, 14, 16-foot cane poles, and they'd be strapped not on the driver's side, but on the passenger side. They would tie a rope between the two door handles.
Yeah.
Onto the cane poles so that you couldn't use those two doors to get in or out. Right. You had to squirm your way over to the other side. I mean, and going down the road, that looked really weird because it was the cane poles were longer than the vehicle. You know, it was weird. Some of the stuff they did back then, I don't know, different. But you know what? A lot of great childhood memories that I'll never forget and never forget. So
when did the Neubauers graduate from cane poles to modern technology of rods and reels?
I don't remember. I remember.
You got your Zebco 33.
Yeah, I don't. I have no clue. I started using a level wind baitcaster, and it was the ones that went forward and backwards. There was no free spool.
So you started with one of those.
That's what I started with. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What kind of sadistic father did you have to make you use that? I mean, for God's sake.
Oh, my God. That was, my casts weren't that long.
At least give him a Zebco 202.
Yeah, well, it was either a cane pole or that baby. And it was hard to throw lures with the cane pole.
Remember the Zebcos? They had the Zebco 202, the Zebco 404.
Yep.
Then they had one of Zebco 66 for a while.
They had an 808, too. They still have it.
And then, and then they had the Zebco 33, which became the flagship, their banner one.
And that is a good reel. It is. For a push-button reel, it's a good reel.
I caught a 10-pound king salmon on that on the pier one time. Gave me a heck of a battle, let me tell you.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with those. You got Jim on the line now? All right, let's get him on. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. We do appreciate you calling all the way from Hazelhurst, Wisconsin.
Yep, you got it. Right up in Hazelhurst, Minocqua, Woodruff, the big cities up north, huh?
I was just saying they should get rid of the name Hazelhurst because Minocqua starts before Hazelhurst and ends after Minocqua. I was up there last Labor Day, drove by your shop, the Muskie shop there in Hazelhurst, and it was like I hadn't been up in that area in like 20 years. I can't believe how it's grown.
Yeah.
Unreal. Yep. But anyway, are you going to be at the Muskie show next week, right?
Yeah, we're coming down and we'll have a 130 foot of booth space.
Wow.
We'll have all kinds of, a lot of rods and reels and tons and tons and tons of lures and all kinds of stuff, all kind of promotions. So we're excited about it. We're preparing right now, and we'll be down there. The Muskie Expo is always a great show. Yeah.
How big is that enclosed trailer you're bringing down?
Well, we got two of them.
You got two of them. I can imagine that's a lot of stuff. Well, you guys do handle just about everything for muskie fishing, right?
We do. Yeah, we sure try to. Yep, we sure try to. We got a lot of inventory, but we try to meet our customers' needs and what the fishermen want. And
what's new?
Try to bring
What are the new hot muskie lures that you'll be showing people?
Yeah, there's a couple would be like the Quad B from Beaver Bait lures.
Yeah. What does that look like? What kind of lure is that?
Well, he's got a line of lures that look kind of like a little beaver in the water. They're real. They got a big, large profile. It's like a huge profile bucktail. And then now this year he's incorporated a blade in front of it. So it's called the Quad B. And so it's basically his little beaver bait with some blades in front of it too.
So
a double blade.
So that's a bucktail, right?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting. As far as your show now, you got, I heard, 80-plus exhibitors, so there will be, lots of different baits and services, guides on display. 16 and under free, I think?
Yeah, yep. 16 and under free, and there will be a large variety of any. If you're interested in muskie fishing, it's going to be all in that building you know, that next weekend.
And the nice thing about up there, it's at, what, the Waukesha County Fairgrounds. You got free parking there.
Yeah,
free parking. Whereas years ago, you had to pay $5 for parking at the state fair here.
Right.
Yeah, yep, that's right, guys. Yeah, it used to be you had to pay a little for parking, but now it's free, and it's up there in West Bend at the, I think, is it the Washington County?
Yeah. Washington County Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you, Jim. Up there in Hazelhurst, right now you got a lot of snow, a lot of ice and all that. Are you guys open year-round or do you close for the winter?
No, we're open all year-round.
You are.
We just close like Christmas and Easter and that's it. So we're always always here, and we sell a lot of live bait and minnows and everything.
Oh, okay. So you got I didn't know you sold the bait, too. Okay. Like, so.
Yep. Yes, okay. We've got a full line of live bait, so guys can, you know, go ice fishing if they want, or stop and get some musky stuff.
Oh, what has the ice fishing been a little curtailed up there this year due to the lack of ice, or what?
It's been a kind of a rough year. The ice is just it's so inconsistent. I mean, if you're careful, you'll be all right. You don't want to drive trucks or nothing like that. It's really inconsistent. A lot of snow on top of it, so it's hard to get around. That's kind of the problem, and so it's tough for ice fishing. I mean, the guys that are going out are catching fish, but you got to be careful, and you know, it's just really hard getting around.
And when you think about it, it's kind of going to be over before it started, because at the end of February, I believe, is when the game fish actually ends, and you can still do some panfish. But, geez, the way it's going, I think ice will be gone pretty quick this year.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's I think we'll probably have a regular or even a little early ice out. I think, you know, at this point, it's almost like just depends on how much snow we're going to get from now the rest of the winter till spring.
Yeah, we're talking with Jim from the Muskie Shop in Hazelhurst, Wisconsin, formerly Raleigh and Helens. And Jim and the Muskie Shop are going to be at the Muskie Expo at the Washington County Fairgrounds next weekend on the 14th, 15th, and 16th.
And that's now Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I guess Friday 2 to 8, Saturday 9 to 5, and Sunday 9 to 2, I think, if memory serves correct.
Yep. And any other hot lures besides that one that you told us about?
Yeah, Trilogy's, there's a bite back bait company. They've got a micro Trilogy, his line of
now. What kind is that? What kind of lure is that?
That's another bucktail.
Another bucktail. Okay.
It's a bucktail. It's got like a tri blade in
front of them. Sure, sure.
And those have been probably about our most the hottest bait last year, and now he's got a few new ones to his lineup this year: hare and marabou and flasherbou in different sizes, and so we'll have those down there and they've been extremely popular, and they caught a lot of fish too. They're not just like a fad. There's a lot of fish caught on them last year.
What do you got for speakers at the show?
Ooh, that I'm not sure who Mike, who's got the promoters got speaking. He has a different lineup every year.
Right.
I looked at it a while back, and my memory is going to fail me here, but I'm not sure.
That's
sure
all right.
Very good. All the guys. You know, that he has speaking there. They're always great speakers, and they really know their stuff.
There's always a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, well, if people Google the Muskie Expo up there for next weekend, it'll give them a list of who's speaking and when. Yeah. You know, it seems like people, Jim, are adding, you know, like more blades to bucktails and that, trying to change things up a bit. I think I'm going to come out with one called the Quadmaster. I'll put four blades on it.
Sure. Jim will carry it for you, Tom. Just send it up there, and he'll promote it at the Muskie Shop there.
Oh, Jim.
You bet.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for calling, and best of luck next week.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. I hope you guys have a great day, and thank you very much.
All right, you're
take
welcome.
Care, man.
Bye now. Yeah, you can find out more about the Muskie Shop in Hazelhurst.
And
just Google that.
Jim owns that, and that used to be Raleigh and Helens.
Yeah, right.
And they don't call it Raleigh and Helens anymore.
No, it's called the Muskie Shop.
I used to get the Raleigh and Helens catalog all the time, but I don't think I got it last year.
I don't know. Do they still put out? We should have asked them. Here, call them back.
He's going back to sleep, Tom. That's probably pretty expensive to send a catalog out, though.
It is. That's why, you know, John used to do it. John Lehman at Smokies.
He didn't send as big a catalog.
As big. But he did do a catalog, and I remember him telling me that it wasn't cheap to do a four-color catalog.
No.
That printing costs a lot of money, that four-color printing.
Right.
Yeah, that's not cheap. So, but anyway,
It's been a great muskie shop there over the years.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Hazelhurst, right?
Yep. And like I said, he had a laugh, too, when I said Minocqua should start before Hazelhurst and end after Minocqua because it's all one.
Is it on the main drag there?
Yeah, right on the main drag.
A main drag.
Big, big place, too.
Just look
big
for main place. Drag Hazelhurst.
Yeah. Okay, let's see now. There's some. Oh, speaking about money, we
got
to pay some bills. So we're going to take
no bills.
Yeah, so we're going to take a quick break here. So take it away, Sam.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Name that group, Tom.
What does that say?
Crank it, Sam.
I can't see it. Nazareth.
Oh, you cheated.
Of course I did. We got some emails here, Danny. David writes, LOL.
Lots of laughs. See, I know what that means. Yeah. Don't know what BOGO means.
Or it means laugh out loud.
Laugh out loud.
Crabby old guy segment.
Lots of laughs.
He liked that.
What?
The crabby old guy segment when we were talking about crabby old guys. Well, you were talking about crabby old guys.
Oh, you mean on Monona Bay?
Yeah.
Eating arsenic-infected perch?
And then Ken writes us, he says, Tom, some people believe that you should put your smallmouth in the live well, believing that smallmouth generate a fernome. That scares off other smallmouth that are in the area. Do you believe this? The fish in a live well are released when the fishermen move on. No, I do not believe it because I have caught smallmouths, released them, and still kept catching them. If they're there and they're hungry, they're going to eat, period. I've heard this years ago. Somebody said, even with largemouth, oh, no, you better put them in a live well, and because they'll tell the other fish that you better not bite anything. No, sorry, don't believe it.
You don't believe?
I don't buy it.
You don't believe in fear gnomes?
Yeah, I believe in fear gnomes, but I don't believe that the fish are telling other fish that because of their fear gnomes or whatever that you better watch it.
Do you know how to spell fear gnome?
Oh hell no. I wouldn't even P. I know there's a PH in there.
Fearnome. Fear gnome.
Yeah, fear gnome.
That's
anyway.
Why you're married, Tom.
Why?
Women give off fear gnomes that attract men, and men give off fear gnomes that attract nobody.
But yeah, no,
it's all
fear gnomes. I don't believe that.
Believe in the fear gnome theory of biology.
I mean, if that was true, I mean, you wouldn't. I mean. Oh, Mike. Well, first of all, what if you're catching a lot of smallies? What, are you going to put five in a live well? Then you got to start throwing them out. And according to the DNR, once you're in your live well, they're yours.
Hey,
you can't put them back.
Listen, I got some solid evidence to debunk that fear gnome theory, Tom. You want to hear it?
What is it?
So like when you're fighting a smallie and he's got the bait and you got the other smallie swimming side by side.
Trying to take it from him. Yeah.
As you're pulling the one into the boat.
Yeah.
So tell me how that fear gnome's working for you now.
Yeah, that's right. That happens so often where you got one or two other smallies trying to grab that bait from the one smallie that's got it. Oh, yeah.
Do you realize that can happen with muskies?
I would believe it, yeah, sure.
My buddy Scott Olson saw that happen.
Yeah.
His brother-in-law had a 40-inch muskie on in Taylor's Bay years ago, and I actually saw him fighting it. I was in my boat further away. And Scott's waving the net around, right? Because he's going to net his brother-in-law's fish. Then he sees that another muskie's swimming right with it. So you know what he does? He drops the net and tries casting to get the other muskie. Meanwhile, his brother-in-law's hey, do you think you can net this one for me?
Knob. Just hand land
it. Net my fish, you knob.
Yeah, just grab it. Wait, come on.
Just play it a little longer.
Yeah, play it on
play
a little bit.
Longer. Enjoy it a little bit.
Build that lactic acid in it so that when you release it, it's got a problem surviving.
Right.
Did you know that? I don't know if any of our audience knows that, but the longer you fight a fish, the more lactic acid that is built up in their bloodstream makes it harder for them to...
Well, it's just like you and me trying to run a 200-meter sprint or a 400-meter.
Well, maybe you, not me.
You maybe what? No, 2 meters? Maybe, to,
no, you
from
can
the
probably.
Couch to the
no, you can.
Back?
You can run it, but
not anymore.
Me.
I'm good for 40 yards.
No.
I'm really quick to 40 yards. After that, the old lactic acid builds up. Well, yeah, you're right. Then that's why they're more fatigued, and that's why they suggest in high temperature water that you don't play the fish out as long.
Or try not to.
You know what? As far as muskies, though, think about this, Tom. We've, to a large degree, taken the fight out of muskie fishing because the gear is so powerful now. We got giant 8-foot rods. We got 100-pound test super braid line. We've got heavy-duty $300 reels. You know, we're pretty much using Tiger Shark gear now.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as somebody hooks a fish... The main goal is to get them in the net. You pretty much just horse those things in now. And as far as really enjoying the fight, the muskies still go berserk, and it's still exciting watching them go crazy. But it's for about, sometimes it's for like 10 feet of winding, and in the net it goes. So in a way, we've gotten away from, even in the days of with the Dacron line and stuff, you had to, you know, loosen your drag and let them make some runs and so forth. And now maybe we let them, you know, run a little bit here and there. Maybe I'll hit free spool, and because maybe the rod or line's not going to break, but a hook might bend out or something might go. But in a way, we've kind of taken the fight out of the muskie fishing.
Well, I've always said you don't need the 8-foot heavy action, 100-pound test line, 100-pound test leader. You don't need that to catch muskies because your average muskie is going to be 36 to 40 inches, all right? And they're not going to be that bad. It matter, you can catch how many? Plenty of muskies have been caught by anglers fishing for walleyes, for bass, for pike.
Well, they're the ones
on a lot lighter line, well, they're having fun.
They're having fun, right? So I guess it's all about getting them in the net now. Nobody really cares about the fun or the pursuit, and it's all about numbers and get it in the net.
Yeah, I know. Who do you got on the line there, Sam?
Jim in Greenfield.
Okay. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
We have an ongoing controversy. I make a couple trips to Canada each year, and it's happened to us three or four times where, you know, you're bringing in a walleye, and all of a sudden it's T-boned by a northern, and we're able to net them both.
Yeah.
Who does the northern belong to? Who caught that northern?
I guess the guy reeling it in.
Well, are you saying the net man?
That's the controversy.
Well... Personally, if it was under Wisconsin law, there's not a hook in its mouth, so legally you'd have to throw it back.
I guess legally nobody.
It doesn't belong to anybody. You'd have to throw it back because they have to be caught with a hook in the mouth and not snake.
I say it's the angler, Tom, because there have been people who've caught big muskies and northerns that grab the crappie or a bluegill, and sometimes they almost swallow it down, and they wind it in, and they say, I caught a muskie, I caught a pike, so... In that case, it's the angler.
Well, in that case, a lot of times the hook, Jim, is actually in the muskie or northern. But if it's just T-boned, under Wisconsin law, nobody...
We're not talking law, Tom. What is this?
Yeah.
I mean, Judge Judy.
We're
not talking law. We're talking sodbusters in a boat fishing in Canada. Nobody's got a lawyer there.
I don't want Jim to be thrown in the hooskow.
Nobody's throwing anybody in the hooskow.
We release those northerns anyways.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess I'd say it's the angler or whoever has bigger arms wins the argument.
Or you flip a coin, whatever.
Yeah. Have a good day, guys.
All right,
thanks.
Take care.
See ya. Bye now. That's a question I didn't think I'd ever hear. Who does that fish belong to? The netter or the nettie?
Well, I don't
know. That's funny.
When you think about it, there's been plenty of big fish that were caught in spite of the angler and because of having an excellent net man
who
saved the day.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've had a number of those.
Because there's a lot of people, when they hook into a big fish, they go into fight or flight. It's nothing but adrenaline. And they're not hearing any of your instructions. They're just gritting their teeth and winding as much as they can.
Yep.
And the fish is going berserk, and you're like, there ain't no play involved in it. It's just get the thing in the net.
Yeah, we got another email here.
Really coming in.
Yeah, people can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Greg says, what was that you said about a Fleet Farm on Highway Q? Well, this is what happened, Greg. A caller called. We were talking to, I don't know what we were talking about, Fleet Farms, but he called and said that the Fleet Farm on Highway 175 and Q might be closing. So, I mean, I don't know. That's just what a caller said. They said they might be closing. So I hope not, because that's the one I go to.
We were
to.
Talking about the fishery up in Winnebago, and he went in there and didn't see any advertisements for
that's
the...
That's right. Normally they have the
battle on the bagel, bagel on the battle. Or
so,
something.
Greg, that's all we know about that. I mean, I hope they don't close. I wouldn't want to see that. But anyway, and just want to remind people, like we had talked about before, just want to remind people, if you go to Lake Monona and you fish Monona Bay for the panfish, like plenty of people do, just remember there's a DNR fish consumption advisory going on. Some bad stuff got into the bay, and you don't want to be eating those fish. The DNR says you can only eat one meal a month from those fish. Otherwise, you're taking a chance of something bad happening.
What would happen, did they say? Will you, like, grow an extra appendage or something? Or
might.
Something going to fall off?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they give these warnings, like, only once a month.
I was thinking of The Simpsons with the goldfish that had the three eyes or four eyes, whatever it was. Yeah, I don't know. You know, speaking of that, Danny, when you were talking about the old guys, the curmudgeons and all that.
There's a lot of grumpy old guys
out there.
When
I was younger and my dad was in his mid to late 70s.
Yeah.
And I was fishing up on the Fox River up there by Green Bay.
Yep.
And he'd say, why don't you ever bring any of these walleyes home? And I says, well, Dad, they say you shouldn't eat that many of them because the river it's got the
response was,
and he says, "Hell, at my age, if it ain't dead yet, those things ain't gonna kill me." You know, which he had a point. You know, you're in your mid late 70s, it would take something maybe a long time to have to kill you, by eating the stuff. But I must at that time though, you would have to take the fillets, okay, and put them in a half milk, half water mixture and some salt. And leave them in it overnight because it did have a little bit of...
Didn't they taste like sulfur or something?
A little bit of the paper mill taste, yeah. But if you did that overnight...
What does the paper mill taste like?
Like a little bit of sulfur or whatever. But if you did that thing with the milk and water and salt, then they were fine. But it's amazing how they've cleaned that river.
So, like...
It's amazing.
So, like, with that solution, okay, makes it taste better, but is it actually taking any of the pollutants out of the fillet, or is it just making it?
Probably not. Just tasting better.
Making the pollutants not taste so bad.
And they had an advisory that you could only eat so much. Pregnant women or women in childbearing years shouldn't eat any of it.
Right.
You know, whatever. You just had to be careful on how much you ate of it and whatever, you know. But like right now, though, it's amazing how they've cleaned that river up. In 1979, they came out with the Clean Water Act.
Yes.
And see, those paper companies up there, when they would throw their waste water into the river, it had there was a molecular chain that was really long with all the stuff that they were using, right?
Right.
Well, they had to do stuff that broke down that chain so that when it went in the river, it would get broken down some more and it wouldn't have all this bad stuff. And now, it's amazing. There was a time when that Fox River up there would hardly even support carp. Now, they got everything spawning up there. Literally, everything is spawning up there. So,
yeah. It's still a muddy river, though, which I don't...
The color color.
I do not like fishing muddy waters.
It's dark. You can see down, about 6 inches to about a foot, maybe.
It's not good. Speaking of rivers, for our listeners out there... a lot of you guys know I like to talk about going up and doing the spring smallmouth fishing up there in Door County. And one of the most fun ways to catch the fish up there was to go on the Mink River in Ned Rig.
Oh, yeah.
And I had Dr. Sandy with me last year, and his first fish was a 20-inch smallie on a Ned Rig. But they now have closed. They are closing the Mink River till mid-June. So the people can't go in there and pound those spawning smallies. Now, not all the smallies spawn there. A bunch of them spawn in Rowley's Bay. And Ron Johnson was putting a beating on those smallies, drop-shotting them, sight-fishing them right in Rowley's Bay in a couple feet of water, crystal clear. There's some people that don't even agree with doing that because you pull a big old male away from the bed for a little bit and the rusty crayfish or the gobies get in there and get the, but on the other hand, there's some people that say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why are they worrying about it? Despite the fact that people are targeting all those spawning bass, there's still a ton of bass up there.
Yeah. And I also heard too, that the lot, not all of course, but a lot of smallmouth are spawning in a little bit deeper water because not all the gobies are in shallow water, but a big amount of them
are. And the flip side of it is, one of the things that they attribute to the big smallmouth explosion and the better size,
they're eating them.
That they're eating the gobies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a lot of food.
The growth rate has improved where all of a sudden, I mean, I'll tell you what, that Door County is incredible. I've caught, and I can't tell you how many, 18-inch plus.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get on a good spot, the average size, Tom, will be 18-inch plus.
Right. No little ones.
Maybe you'll get a 17 or a 16, and you treat those with disdain compared to the 4-pound footballs you're winding in one after another.
You know, it's amazing that the Bay of Green Bay has got monster muskie, monster pike. Well, there are monster pike in there.
Right.
Monster walleyes, monster smallmouth. The state record bluegill came from the Bay of Green Bay. The only thing they don't have a lot of big ones is largemouth bass. That's the one thing.
Do they have?
There's some. Somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere.
Maybe
there's got
to
be some.
Close to the river mouth,
maybe? In the rivers,
I would
probably.
Guess maybe near the Pensacola or O'Connell.
Yeah. I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, for as much as I fished on the Fox River, we never caught one.
You know, I would really think that the Peshtigo River, I've gone all the way up into the upper reaches where, you know, launch at the harbor mouth and go up in there. And there's shallow, shallow areas with reeds and so forth. You would think that that would be great largemouth territory.
Yeah. Did we miss a break?
No.
We didn't.
No, we can go to one now.
Oh, because, we're about five minutes past.
Suffering some confusion from...
No, I was just looking at the clock.
We got abducted by the aliens. I got back. I lost all track of time.
All right,
there's
folks.
A missing time period missing.
Yeah, we got to go to a break.
We'll get you hypnotized.
Yeah. 1258, no, what is it? It's 799-1250 if you want to give us a buzz. He's Dan, I'm Tom. Sam's over there. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, thanks for listening this morning. A special thanks to our service people out there defending our country, our police officers, law enforcement, first responders, health workers. We thank you all for what you do for America. And thanks to our friends, foes, neighbors, semi-acquaintances, and enemies for listening this morning.
Yeah,
not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. Well, I got a complaint, Danny.
Oh, God, here we go. Talk about grumpy
old
man. You should be fishing Monona Bay.
Okay, some of these restaurants.
Bluegill. What?
Some of these restaurants, they say they got chicken wings and boneless chicken wings. You know what a boneless chicken wing is? It's a chicken nugget. That's all it is. It's got nothing to do with wings, got no wing meat in it whatsoever. It's made out of breast meat and thigh meat. Boneless chicken wings are nothing more than nuggets. Now, I know why they do this. I know why they say boneless chicken wings. They can charge more for them than if you went to like a McDonald's or a Burger King. You can get those nuggets for a lot less than what they charge from at the restaurant for. For me personally, I want the wings. I want the meat in the wings is totally different. It's great. I don't want nuggets. If I want nuggets, I'll go someplace else. But if I want wings, I want wings with the bone in. So there we go.
Sounds like you were like psychologically scarred as a kid. Where your mom and dad took him to a restaurant and said, "Now sit down and eat your nuggets."
Yeah. Well,
your wings.
Let me ask Wes. What do you like, Wes?
I like bone in.
Yeah, definitely. Danny?
But it's weird. If I go to Buffalo Wild Wings, I'll go to...
You'll get the nuggets?
I'll eat the... Yeah, pretty much. I don't know why.
The nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they got nothing to do with chicken wings.
Yeah, but usually
I'll go... So stop calling them boneless wings.
Usually
they're
I
not.
Go traditional.
Yeah. Can I?
I like the stuff without the bones. You don't have to gnaw away. You're
all right.
Like
like
your little beaver eating a side of a tree.
You know, here's
the
thing.
Beaver. And then I'm getting barbecue sauce all over, right? There's Wes doing his best beaver impression.
No, there's nothing wrong with people liking the nuggets.
I don't want them calling boneless wings?
Yeah, because they're not wings.
They're not boneless wings.
I know they're not boneless wings. I know this for
a fact. Can't they like beam the bones right out of them?
Nope.
Isn't there a way of filleting them? Couldn't they get an Indian from Canada who fillets pike with a ballpoint pen to just miraculously pull the bones out of the wing?
You just reminded me of another one. You go into a any market that's selling fish, you know, I don't care, Pick and Save, Century, whatever it is, right? You go into the store, you go into the meat section, and they got a fish section. And then they got one called walleyed pike. I'll tell you what, I have asked so many butchers, what the hell is a walleyed pike? And they say, well, that's that fish there. I say, well, what is it? Is it a walleye or is it a pike? Because there is no such creature as a walleyed pike. And then the one guy says to me, he says, well, that's what the DNR says we should call them. And I said, that's baloney. I said, do I look that stupid to you? Then a DNR knows there's a difference between... I don't, shut up.
You really want them to answer that question?
I said, they know what the difference is. Now, you got to tell me, is that a walleye or is that a pike? I mean, that's not. It's got to be one or the other. There's no such thing as a walleyed pike, and I'll do the same thing at restaurants, too.
Norm, check out this oaf coming in the door. He ain't going to know this. He's going to think this is going to be...
Here he comes again.
He's going to, he'll buy this walleyed pike for sure.
And you know what?
This guy won't know.
My wife hates it when I do that stuff.
Well, I don't blame her. Why are you making a point out of like this
poor guy? They ought to list it right.
He's not an ichthyologist. He doesn't study fish.
That's a false advertising. And they're all walleyes. It's not, there's nothing
life
to do with pike.
Life is about false advertising.
They're all walleyes.
Life is false advertising.
Now you're both ganging up
everybody
on me.
Everybody false advertises.
799-1250.
Girl puts makeup
help
on.
Me
false
out,
advertising.
Folks. Help me
everything's
out, folks.
Everything's masked in false advertising
these
in this
two
world.
Two guys are both on me. Help me out, folks.
Yeah.
Please, 799-1250.
I don't know why they call it walleyed pike, but, first of all, you would think they just call it, I know why.
I know, because in Canada they call them pike.
Right, but here's the thing. People associate the name walleye with gosh darn good. Okay, even people who know nothing about fishing. See, I just figured it's marketing. I just figured this out. So everybody associates walleyes because walleyes are delicious, nutritious to eat. But pike. People, what's a pike? Northern pike. So they're going to associate pike with bony, slimy, whatever. But by adding that name walleye to it, it makes Joe Average consumer that much more likely to buy that fillet,
which is
going to be delicious because you and I know pike are just as good as
walleyes. Danny, the problem is they're not selling pike. They're not selling pike. They're selling walleye. So why not just call it walleye?
No, I thought they called the pike walleyed pike. No, it is walleye.
Yes.
Well, then
why are they devaluing it by
calling it pike?
Exactly. Now, I know in Canada, a lot of places, a lot of locals will call... small walleyes, pike.
You know what they used to call the
snakes too.
In the stores.
Yeah.
I remember a Tom's grocery store in Green Bay years ago. In the meat section, they had northern pike, and they called it Great Northern Pike.
Great Northern Pike.
It was called Great Northern Pike. It was packaged, the fillet. Great Northern Pike.
What's the difference?
And I think sometimes they had Canadian Great Northern Pike.
Yeah,
but it's called Great Northern Pike.
Huh. Yeah. Was that really Northern Pike then?
Yeah, it was Northern Pike.
Okay.
It'd be false advertising if it wasn't, Tom.
Yeah,
just
they false advertise
they
all the
that.
Time. They do that all the time. All the time. Oh, we got a caller. Somebody to defend me?
Nobody's
somebody to help me out?
You.
Who do you got?
Justin in Milwaukee.
Hey, Justin, good morning. Are you here to help me out?
I am here to help you out.
All right. These guys are ganging up on me, you know.
You're such a knob there.
I just wanted to bring up this subject because I was out for a fish fry last night with a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
And we were at the Lone Star in Germantown.
Okay.
And I just, you know, I the walleye pike thing.
Was it on the menu?
It was on the menu, but it wasn't walleye or pike. They call the thing sauger. What the hell is that?
Well, a sauger is a relative of a walleye. It's basically the same thing. It just looks a little bit different, but it's basically the same thing as a walleye. It's a relative.
No, I know. And yeah. I know what a sauger is.
Oh, okay.
My whole point is they call it walleye pike, but I know what a sauger, and that's exactly what they were serving. So I just don't know what the heck they were doing.
Yeah. Why don't they just say, hey, it's a walleye?
No,
why do they
sauger.
Add the pike to it?
Why don't
or
they say, it's
or
a
say it's a sauger? Yeah. Say it. What's the problem? Yeah, you're right, Justin. You're right. Did you bring it up?
So I just wanted to get on the bandwagon here with you and talk about this, because why don't they just call it exactly what it is?
Did you tell anybody there?
Nobody's going to order sauger, because sauger, that doesn't even sound good.
No. But did you tell them?
I did. I certainly
good.
Did. And they were just like, well, yeah, that's just what they call it. And I think they mentioned the DNR as well. I just don't understand.
Good for you, Justin.
Listen, it's all marketing, you guys. You're making a big deal about nothing.
Yeah, good for you, Justin. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. I'm glad he stood up for me. Anyway, 799-1250.
Think about it, sauger. People are going to go, sauger? What's
sauger? We got to go to a break. Last break of the morning. I'm not taking any more emails, so don't bother. I'm going to turn off this here fang-dangle computer, and we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
Fang-dangled.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay,
that was funny, Danny.
What?
Well, you didn't want to lose. Uh-huh. You didn't want to lose your page, but yet you wanted
to
put your headphones.
Interesting. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Can we take this caller
sure.
quick?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Who do you got? Oh, you don't have them yet. Let us know. Yes, Danny.
Okay. So remember, before I was telling you that length, the barrel length can
make a difference in velocity. Yeah.
And it is basically. You want to have, if you want maximum velocity out of your cartridge, you need just enough barrel length in order to allow all the powder in the cartridge to burn.
Okay.
For maximum velocity. And do you know how long for a 22 long rifle, what the length is for it to reach maximum speed?
22 inches.
No, 16 inches a barrel.
Okay.
So 16 inches. And then, actually, the longer barrel, after that point, once the powder is burned, the added friction and decline in pressure can actually result in a slight decrease in velocity after a certain point.
Wow. Mm. Okay.
So make sure you have at least a 16-inch barrel.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't your accuracy be better with a longer
now
barrel
that's the
than
other
a shorter
thing they
barrel?
Talk about, too. You're right. A lot of times they talk with target barrels. They talk about going with a long barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's some trade-offs, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What do they use in the Olympics? You know, when they got they're on skis and they got to stop and shoot.
Well, those, I think they use 22 long rifles.
Yeah, they
for
do
that.
Use 22s, but
and they're those, pretty long.
Yeah, those rifles look pretty long.
That's a pretty long barrel. You know, another interesting fact on barrels too. The more you shoot, the more a barrel heats up.
Mm-hmm.
And as your barrel heats up, that can result in a decrease in accuracy.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you'll see guys take, a break between shots to allow the barrel to cool down. And one of the reasons that competitive shooters will use a heavier barrel,
mm-hmm.
I believe, is because a fat barrel heats up more slowly than a skinny barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And the heat is what can cause a barrel to wiggle around enough to scatter its bullets over the target.
Yeah, I'm sure if it makes a difference of a tenth of a thousandth of a square of an inch, I mean, that can make a difference.
I credit my information from Lane Simpson from the rifle shooter Big Game Hunting Book.
That was Homer's brother.
Yeah. What's his name? Tom gave me this book.
Yeah.
44 Remag reaches top speeds in barrels measuring 18 to 20 inches.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to mention some fishing.
Yeah, go ahead.
My son Nick last week tried a hot dog. I told you that during the break, right? Yeah.
Was it an Oscar Mayer wiener?
I don't know what kind of hot dog, but he put a hot dog on it. He had like three. No, he had more than three tip-ups out because he had his two kids with him. And one of the tip-ups, first of all, one of the tip-ups had a hot dog. The other tip-ups had suckers, 5 to 6 inch suckers, okay, because the bait shop he was at ran out of the large golden shiners. So he did catch a fish on the hot dog. And right away you said, oh, he caught a pike, because we saw Larry Smith catching pike on a hot dog.
Yeah.
And I said, no, he caught a largemouth bass on one, which is really weird. But then after that, he didn't get any more bites on the hot dog, so he went back to the sucker. But he was catching a lot of fish, northerns and bass, on the suckers, on the 5 to 6 inch suckers. And not a lot of big bluegills, but a lot of bass and pike.
A little known fact, the advantage of the hot dog is that, you can take it off the tip up and throw it on the grill in between and have a little snack.
Yeah.
If you're hungry.
I don't know.
You don't want to do that with your smelt.
No.
Or your golden shiner.
No.
And I wonder if what is the cheapest wieners out there? Isn't it the old basic Oscar Mayer wieners?
No,
didn't you get like 8 of them for 79 cents? We used to get chicken franks in college. We got chicken franks.
Chicken franks. No, they still
make
those.
My buddy got a hot dog cooker, and at 2 in the morning, white bread, a chicken frank, and some ketchup was like heaven at 2 o'clock in the morning for starving college kids.
I can imagine. No, there's stuff. I think Sugardale is one of the lesser expensive ones.
Well, I wonder if it makes a difference for the fish, which is better.
I don't think it makes a difference. I think it just has to do with the outline it makes in the water, the length, the size. I mean, it looks like a damn minnow.
The silhouette?
The silhouette, yeah,
it's shaped
like a minnow.
Should you maybe like paint some eyes on it or something?
There you go.
Like that?
Paint some eyes on a hot dog.
How about take like some yarn and tie it kind of around so it's going to look like fins hanging off your hot dog?
See?
And experiment with different color yarns.
You know what? We could come up with a new lure, Dan. We come up with a lure that looks like a hot dog.
How about a brat, though? If you want to have a silhouette, why don't you go with a brat?
Go with a brat for muskies. The big summer sausage for muskies. Hey, we could be on to something new here. We I think they make lures like that already, though.
Summer. I got the biggest hawk and pike you ever saw in a summer sausage Canada.
Wouldn't that be something? Wow.
Hey, garlic. They like garlic, right?
They like the garlic.
So you cut the summer sausage, cut the casing on the summer sausage.
So they can
let
smell
that nice
it.
That aroma to get out there to diffuse and disperse through the water. The molecules, Tom, where they smell the garlic and come on into your sausage.
We'll have to try some of those experimental ones out of wood at Smokey's Muskie Shop. Wood hot dogs.
They're not going to come for a wood hot dog.
Sure. Well, they do now.
How are you going to get it on the hook?
Well, you got to put a little eyelet on there, if it's going to be a lure.
Dog.
Yeah. Okay. We'll just do the lure. All right. Anyway, Danny, I mean, I don't know. That's basically all I got for this week.
I'm going to be out with the Quick and the Deadly. My buddy Al Shook, we're going to head out and do a little shooting pheasants. So, my good buddy
good
Mike
luck.
Schlander, going to be a good time. So,
good luck.
Everybody get out there, enjoy the day, and that's all I got.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening, and God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to Skibberbuds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, we'll talk to you all next week.